One of the key things that helped my development, I learned at Human Awareness Institute, and it was loving yourself begins with loving yourself even when you don't want to.
Hello and welcome to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. Each week at this time, we gather for spiritual conversation with enlightening guests, and I'm glad you're here. You can find out more about my work as an intuitive guide and teacher at karenhager.com. Now then, you are more than your circumstances or your worry or that super critical voice in your head. I know that already, you might be saying, but are you living in the truth of that? Are you doing it consistently? My guest today is Corey Lyon Folsom, and we'll be talking about increasing inner clarity for better communication in relationships. And of course, that includes your relationship with yourself for greater empowerment in life and in love. Are you ready to meet him? Corey Lyon Folsom has been a professional tracker, wilderness guide for newly sober people, and a vision quest leader. After a spiritual soul awakening, Corey participated in the Human Awareness Institute, Source School of Tantra Yoga, Sedona School of Temple Arts, Love Coach Academy, and Tony Robbins programs. As a certified Tantra educator and a love and relationship coach since 2012, Corey assists people from all over the world to increase the soulfulness, clarity, and ease with which they experience life. Corey's the father of two adult sons, and he lives in California. You can find out more about Corey and his work at corerelationship.com. Corey, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Thank you, Karen. I'm glad to be here.
What is a soul statement? I'm just starting us right off. We're just jumping right in. Tell me what a soul statement is, please.
Certainly. A soul statement is a present time statement of what is true and good about yourself. So it's not a something in the future or something from the past, but there's parts of you that are eternal and there's a goodness in you always. And so when we're maybe having a moment of forgetting that, we're in distress or distracted by unpleasant circumstances or just overwhelmed by a lot happening, we can declare, we can remember through declaring a soul statement, oh, I have good inside me. There is strength inside me. There is strength inside me I can call upon. I'm more than my circumstance. So we can pick one, you can say a few like I just did, and that helps you remember that you're more than your worry.
How is that different from an affirmation?
Well, an affirmation is something you would say that gives you the emotion of a state that you want to move into, an emotional state and or a desired experience that you want to experience in the future. So maybe you would feel it as much as you could now. Whereas a soul statement, you're not trying to create anything from thin air. You're not trying to move into some future state. You're anchoring to what is already true and eternal, some ideally some kind of inner strength that you can remind yourself of. So it's present and it's always and it's here, and as opposed to an affirmation, which tends to be trying to draw your future towards you.
And I have found just in my experience that sometimes we can hurt ourselves with affirmations because when we're trying to say something as if it was true and at the same time our circumstances are showing us that it is not true, we can kind of hurt ourselves. The example that I use in my work is when I look in the mirror and say, I have now reached my ideal weight. I have reached my ideal weight. I have reached. No, I haven't. I can see that I haven't. And I'm hurting myself when I try to use that as an affirmation. What I like about soul statements, it feels to me, is that they are speaking into what is already true. And even if I need reminding, right? Even if I need reminding, I am more than my circumstance. So that to me is a big difference. We can sometimes affirmations have sharp edges we can cut ourselves on. Do you know what I mean?
I do indeed. And you don't want to create that, inconsistency or whatever the opposite of coherence is.
Yeah.
You want to, with a soul statement, when you say, I have grit inside me, ideally, or whatever you say as a soul statement, ideally your cells hear that and they go, yeah. Or you just feel this anchoring or grounding or more centered from your bones. It's like, oh yeah, of course that is me. I am a loved child of God, or whatever's relevant or most helpful to remind yourself of in that moment.
And there's a difference vibrationally, isn't there, between what is true and what we know to be true and what we're trying to convince ourselves of by tap dancing a lot?
That's right. I look at it like you're calibrating your inner wisdom with your surface thoughts.
Oh, calibrating your inner wisdom with your surface thoughts. That's beautiful. And especially when we're looking at difficult circumstances in our lives or difficult relationships, sometimes we forget our inner wisdom and instead let someone else tell us what they think our inner wisdom should be. And so that's another thing about a soul statement. It feels to me like it must be deeply personal.
Yeah, and you're not negating necessarily the outer situation. You're just remembering a stronger version of you or a stronger aspect of you that you can call upon and embody and live with that at your center to help you with whatever's happening. My distress is not a forever condition. I am not my story. I can call upon the grit inside me. My heart is a trusted guide.
I'm just so those just resonate with those just hit me in a way that affirmations do not. So I'm just feeling those kind of land. My heart is a trusted guide. As we want to improve our communication, the way we ask for what we need, the way we show up in relationship with ourselves and other people, how can we use soul statements to help us do that?
Yeah. And when are you talking about in, say, relationship with other people?
In relationship with other people, and I think it also, our primary relationship is always with ourself. No matter
Yes.
how many lovers or partners or children or aunts and uncles, or that primary relationship is always with ourself, it feels to me too.
Yeah. And so if we are maybe a little bit more certain of the good or the strength that's inside of us, or we're a little more sure, then we're less, we tend to be less, not challenged, but things that happen, things other persons might say. It's not, we don't have to believe, oh, what they're saying might be true about me. It's like, oh no, they're talking about their perceptions and they're giving you information about what they perceive. It doesn't have to be, I don't have to take it on as true. I can remember a soul statement in that moment silently, and I don't have to defend as quickly because I know what's true about me. So I the truth doesn't necessarily need defending if you really know it.
That's interesting. There's that old thing that whatever someone says, they're telling you something about themselves. So if something says something about you, they're really disclosing something about themselves, their perspective, their beliefs. And in relationships, I think especially intimate relationships, we can get so triggered by old patterns or old beliefs. It's always that you always, you never, I can never, you never let me. We get so triggered by that that sometimes communication is really difficult. And I'm hearing you say that when we feel into what we know to be true about ourselves, that can help maybe ease some of that difficulty.
Yeah, and if I'm really remembering a soul statement, I'm feeling anchored to that statement. My brain and my body are in agreement that what I just declared is true, then I'm that much more grounded, and I can be in that much more self-ease, which would only then help a partner or friend, life partner, whomever, coworker, you just can help them by being centered. And it also, I know personally for me, what it does is it helps me be curious about the other person versus, oh, I'm having to defend myself. No, I know what's true about me, and that allows me to be more readily curious about what's happening with them, what's important to this person, maybe what value that they have that they feel isn't being met, and I can be a better listener.
I found a lot in the book. So Corey's book is Soul Statements, A Love Coach's Guide to Successful Communication. I found a lot in the book, as you shared examples, about how soul statements can help us be less reactive, less easily triggered. And I feel like that's what you're starting to get into here as we talk a little bit about conflict. Can you say something about that? Can soul statements help us be less reactive? I've been married for a really long time. I know there are things that my wife says to me that the word is hardly out of her mouth before I'm leaping into the same fight we had 30 years ago.
Yeah. And when I also, when I'm saying things as a soul statement, like my inner knowing is available to me, it's somewhat, I don't know if incumbent upon me is the right way to say it, but I'll just keep talking anyway. Is that will also naturally lead me toward wanting to spend a little time in quiet reflection to develop maybe this soul statement, or as I'm in my stillness, as I'm feeling who I am in my own quiet place, that's how we find our soul statements. This isn't just something that comes from our head, like, oh, I've decided that my heart is loving and strong. It's like, yeah, probably true. And it's so much better to spend time just feeling your heart and offering your heart love and feeling the love of your heart for you, being in gratitude, like, wow, this has been beating for me since before I was born and keeping me alive. And how wonderful is that? And it's been through a lot. There's been heartache, there's been contraction, there's been distress. And yet my heart still beats. So it is strong, it is loving. And the more you spend some intimate time with in this instance, your own heart, the more real and the more you really know when you make that soul statement that it's true.
Why do you think we run away from ourselves so much? We run away from that quiet where we could sit with our hearts. We kind of hide out from our own strength. Why do we do that?
Yeah. The author Hermann Hesse said that's the most difficult thing in the world is to be with oneself. Why? as a say an amateur psychologist in this instance, I think that there are things that maybe we wish we could have done better that we might be reminded of when we're like, oh yeah, I'm a good person. Oh well, gosh, there was that one time where I yelled at my sister. That's not great. So we tend to be critical of ourselves, and we don't want to spend this time just alone because that critical voice will come up. And but that's there's a lot underneath of it, and we have to get through. It's like a monster at the gate. We have to give the monster a cookie and slip on past if we want to get to the good stuff, where the truth lives. And sometimes the truth is, I just didn't know what to do. But there's also another truth that my soul always knows what to do. And so it's important, and it's easy to skip. And also, we grew up contemplating, is God real? And whatever system we grew up with, whether it's going to church or temple or different places, or not going at all, and but we hear about it and we're like, oh, how does that work? And so it's easy to say, well, this is just too all-encompassing of a subject. I don't really know. And so then am I just alone in this world, or have I been abandoned because by the grace of any kind of angels or guardian angels, because I'm such a nice person, yet crap happens to me. What's up with that? And so we have to work some of these questions out if we want to be comfortable being quiet and alone and still.
And there can be a feeling in that, at least one I'm familiar with for myself, that when we get into that critical place about how the choices that I've made before this moment, the choices I've made before are the ones I'm doomed to keep repeating, or I messed it up and it can never. One of the things I like in reading your work is that you're talking a lot about how stopping and taking a breath, or re-examining opens new possibility, unlocks communication, right? We can't communicate from the old place. We can only communicate from what is true right now, you and I speaking in this moment. When there's that belief that says my past choices or past actions, the ones I'm delighted about and the ones that I'm ashamed of, have brought me to this place, now I'm stuck with them, that also kind of can stop someone from moving forward. Do you know what I mean?
Indeed, I do. And one of the key things that helped my development, I learned at Human Awareness Institute, and it was they just kept reminding of this over and over and over, which is awesome, which is loving yourself begins with loving yourself even when you don't want to. And I actually, that was even too much of a leap for me from where I was at that point. And so I changed it for myself, which is loving myself begins with accepting myself even when I don't want to. And so that's where I started. I had to start with acceptance and then eventually get to love, self-love.
And there's another something beautiful in there, because you're allowed, when someone presents an idea to you, you're allowed to take it and shift it in the way that is the most compassionate and accessible for you. You're allowed to do that, which is another piece I think we miss. A teacher says something, or you hear something, and you're like, okay, I'm going to have to do that. No, you're allowed. You can shift it. You can use what you know, what your intuition tells you, what your heart tells you. You can take what you receive and shift it so that it makes sense for you.
That's right. And as we grow in understanding of who we really are underneath the shame or the whatever experiences we've had, then we get to see that some of these things that we've been telling ourselves as true are just, it's just another story. And I like to say old stories got us here, and new stories will get us where we want to be. And so a new story might be, well, a short version of a new story was, there is a place at my center where I can tune out everything that is not me. So that's one of my new stories.
There is a place at my center where I can tune out everything that is not me.
Yeah.
You're listening to Out of the Fog. I'm talking with Corey Lyon Folsom. His new book is Soul Statements, a Love Coach's Guide to Successful Communication. You can find out more about Corey and his work at corerelationship.com. As a love coach, as someone who I am imagining, do you work with individuals and with couples? That communication piece, that connecting with what is true, hold, being able to hold your truthful space no matter what's going on, how do you help people with that?
Yeah. Well, I s oftentimes start by sharing that the conversations you have with yourself are the most important ones you'll ever have. And also another key piece is that to realize, to have it spoken out loud is very powerful, that oh, this other person that I'm joined with in life, of course they're not going to react or respond the way I would if, say, that thing happened to me or this thing was said or whatever occurred, because they don't have my body. They don't have my family of origin. They didn't grow up in my neighborhood. They didn't go to my school. They're not my gender necessarily. Or, you know, there's all, they just have, they don't have my same challenges or my same dreams. And so how they just responded to any given thing is perfectly human and natural given all their history and all of who they are. And so as I'm more self-centered, self-assured with knowing who I am at a deeper level through soul statements and quiet time, I don't feel like I have to challenge whatever has just been said or responded, because I can just be more curious and hold more space. I can be an emotional anchor, if you will, because I have my own self-assuredness on my best days.
Except when you don't, and then you take a breath and then you do again, because that's how this
That's right.
works, right? It's not about a switch that gets flipped and suddenly magically all communication is flawless. And because that I don't think it works like that, does it?
No. Well, no, it's because it's like we're in school and school never gets let out until we're in a different school. So it's you know, I just love learning, and so that ends up helping too.
I was struck by what you shared. You talked about asking your partner what the weather report was as a way, kind of a shorthand between the two of you, with your partner's understanding that you're asking for an emotional weather report. Can you talk a little bit about that and how we might be able to build in curious questions, curious ways of communicating with our partners to help us be closer to them?
Sure. And that came about in part because I realized that, oh, this person wasn't lying before. They were speaking what was true for them in that minute, but it changed. And so now we were feeling that. Now we're feeling this. Oh, there's been a change of tone, or the phone just rang, or whatever it is. And so it's helpful to me in order to be a more gracious and loving partner to know what's happening on the inside for this person I share my life with in particular. And so if I'm given an emotional weather report, that just, it gives me more understanding. It lets me be a little more compassionate, a little more empathetic. Like, oh, there's some weather going on underneath the surface that I wouldn't necessarily be aware of unless I asked. And it also helps to be asked because it's a form of respect. And so just by asking, the weather can change a little bit.
And it also, if you asked me that, I'd have to stop and really think about it instead of just spew words at you. So it also kind of creates a lovely little pause, right? Because you're inviting your partner to think and respond, not just to react.
Yeah. And it's a way of saying, you know, I care about what's happening for you on the inside.
When a relationship ends or when communication maybe is not possible or not healthy for whatever reason, how can we use soul statements and how can we move ourselves forward when things are ending?
Yeah. Well, being connected to your inner clarity and your what's good about you and what strength you have inside will help you speak from not just your worries or your concerns or like, well, what about this? Oh my gosh, or the unknown future. It helps you speak to your values and to your needs. And we don't necessarily want to lead with needs, but we want to speak to, so maybe I have a value for safety. And if there's a certain tone of voice that's, or a volume or a way of talking that starts to feel more aggressive, and you can say, I notice a change in the tone, and that's as a result, I'm feeling less safe. Is there a way we can, I would like to talk differently with each other, or it would work for me. I would be better able to listen if I perceived it was a kinder tone. Are you able to shift that? And sometimes if it's no, then maybe what's appropriate is say, well, let's just take a break for a few minutes and come back.
There's an openness in that and an allowing. I'm hearing you not make the other person wrong for the change in tone. It sounds like you're just saying what you've observed and from your heart, how that's made you feel.
Yeah. And somebody smarter than me said once that you are the expert on your intentions and everyone else is the expert on your impact. And so if I basically lead with the impact of what's happening on me, it's not so much a pointing a finger and saying, you know, you're a dummy dog and I don't like the way you're talking right now. It's more of I'm not feeling great. My heart feels contracted and I'm just not comfortable. What you're saying is important, and I'm wondering if we could do this differently so that I can really understand what's important to you.
For listeners who'd like to find the book and find out more about how they can connect with you, how can they find you?
Well, I have my website, which you've mentioned, corerelationship.com. And I also, I'm on Facebook, Core F, and Instagram, Corey Lyon Folsom. And if that's all on my website as well. So core relationship is a great kind of clearinghouse for all that. And of course, my book is on Amazon, and my contact information's in the back of that too.
What would you like to leave the listeners with? What do you feel like is the most important thing you want them to take away from this conversation? No pressure.
No,
Just makes
there's a
me
lot of directions I could go, but I think that the most the thing right now is that our brains are not always our best friend. And we can, if we start focusing on what's wrong, which is very easy, we can create a downward spiral of attitude. And we can also focus on what's right, even if it's that I am love, I can do this. What's right about me is always available. And so if we can just choose what's powerful and sure and good and right, we can anchor to that, and that can help lead us upward into an upward spiral. And it can lead us into speaking to the impact of what's happening, what our needs are, and it can just engender more direct, graceful requests. And it can just lead us to the next best thing, the next best action that I could take, knowing that what's inside of me is more powerful than what's outside of me. Just knowing that, I'm like, okay, I can do this. And it starts going in a more empowered direction.
Corey, thank you very much for talking with us. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Karen.
I've been talking with Corey Lyon Folsom. His new book is Soul Statements, A Love Coach's Guide to Successful Communication. You can find out more about Corey and his work at corerelationship.com. And of course, you're always welcome over at karenhager.com. That's a great place to find out about upcoming classes and events. You can even book a private session with me there if it feels aligned. And for more out of the fog content and occasional photos of Maisie the dog, mostly photos of her sleeping, because although I had a secret plan to make her into kind of an Instagram superstar, she mostly sleeps. She's very cute when she's sleeping, but she mostly sleeps. So for occasional photos of napping Maisie the dog and dozing Maisie the dog and sleeping Maisie the dog, and to take a look at what's on my jigsaw puzzle board this week, you can find me on Instagram where I am Fog City Psychic. And thank you for listening today. Together, we are spreading a little more light in the world, and a little more light is always a good thing. Until next time, I'm wishing you peace.